Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we worship you today. We anchor our hearts and our minds in your great love, and you've given us your Son to anchor into. And it's for his sake we know that we are saved and we are loved, and so we thank you for that and worship you today. Bless us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we sing, I want to read Psalm 33 today, verse 12 through the end. Just listen to it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Amen. It's an encouraging word of where our strength and power lies. So the idea, as we gather around God's word today, is about faith. And seeing the light will be a big part of what we discuss today. But our first reading will be from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, 22 through 34, and it's found on page 508. So Luke, chapter 12, if you find yourself ever in a situation of being a little bit anxious, this would be a passage that you want to pay special attention to. If you have any anxiety at all, ever. So in other words, if you're a human, this would be a good passage to remember. Start on verse 22. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." It's the reading of God's word. Hope that you catch what he's trying to give to his people. Don't be anxious. You have a good father who loves you, and he's gonna provide for you. And worrying doesn't provide. It's just worry. Anxiety is just anxiety. It just ruins the moment. Oh, you of little faith. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, where we'll talk about faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 16, but page 584. This is the passage we'll be considering today. It's known as the Hall of Faith. Chapter 11, verse 1 through 16. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. That's the reading of God's word. So maybe you remember the Hall of Faith. That's what they call it. If you've been around Christian circles, you start seeing these people who are the bulwarks of our faith. But the beginning of the conversation is defining faith and what is it? Sometimes we think faith is just a belief in some kind of fantasy. You know, like I just have faith that it'll work out. But we want to start the conversation that faith is always in something substantive. Like it's in something that's real. You put your faith, I mean, the example you've heard since you were little is you put your faith in that chair and you know you put faith in it. It didn't mean that you just believed really hard. You just sat in it. That's faith. Because the chair could break. But you believed it would hold you, and then you acted on it, and you sat on it, and held you up. Good job. So that's a victory already. The way Hebrews speaks about faith, the author is, we don't know the author, but he's preaching a sermon, and the sermon is defining a part of faith for us today. And the faith is parallel to seeing. So faith works new sight. Five times the author says seeing, seeing, seeing. And five times you'll see that faith opens up and faith now works. The faith has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. So we've already been talking about the work of the Holy Spirit and your new identity and your new freedom and your new everything. And now we have this faith. And the way the faith works is the first thing, it opens your eyes. And what it opens your eyes to is the hidden God. Faith opens your eyes to the hidden God. It opens your eyes to the hidden people. And it opens your eyes to the hidden future. See? You see? I'll show you how. But when you think about faith and reality and what's real and not real, have you ever driven through a national forest late at night? Anybody? Isn't it like the scariest thing you've ever done? You know why? If you haven't done it, here's why it's scary. Because as you're driving for hours, I've done it a couple times, once at the Grand Canyon, and once we always do it, we used to go to the beach late at night, and you have to go through the Ocala National Forest, and as you're going, it's pitch dark, and there's no traffic, so you're like, it's 55 miles an hour, I can go like 75, except there's countless eyeballs on both sides of the road as you're driving, and you realize there's all these deer and animals that are going to be crossing, and it is the most terrifying thing. I remember driving a minivan with my children, just going, she always stayed awake, but she said, can I sleep? I'm like, sure. She's like, what's wrong? I'm like, see all those eyes? And you just wish that the sun was up or you could just see. Because when it's dark, you have to be cautious. When it's dark, you go slower. When it's dark, you're anxious when you can't see everything. That's why we wait till the sun rises to hike. When it's dark, we get a candle or turn on the lights, because you've all walked through your garage. I always have the garage that the light's on one end and I have to go through and feel. And then I have motorcycle handlebars that are hitting you and you're like, no, no. But when it's dark, you can't see. You're anxious. And so we live in a world that will refuse and says, we don't want to see anything spiritual. We only look at the things that we can see with our own eyes. And we say, this is real, and there's nothing else real. So right from the beginning, our culture is kind of full of anxiety and in the dark. And we're tempted to think that it's only right here. But what the Holy Spirit has worked in us is that there's a spiritual realm. There's a whole heavenly host. God rules. And then there's a physical one. And what is he doing? In the person of Jesus, he's combined a divine human. Christ has a divine nature and a human nature in one. And we know the end of the story is to combine heaven and earth, that your will would come on heaven and earth, on earth as it is in heaven, that that's what was separated. And so when the Holy Spirit works faith, we get a whole nother view, our eyes open to the spiritual reality. And it's really helpful because it turns the lights on. Because without it, without that spiritual reality, you're only living by what you can see. And you know, Christ on his throne is not readily seen by the world, right? They don't see that. They don't acknowledge it. But we do. Because already we have this faith that sees. It's like getting new glasses. Now, I will say, when it comes to faith, no one can take it away from you. But you can walk away. You can walk away from it. This is what happens like with Cain and Abel. You can say, I've seen a little bit, but I don't trust you, God. I don't think you are really worth trusting. I think I'm just going to go with what I can control. And I think my shot at a future is better than what you're offering. And so we see people walk away from the faith. Like every so often, there's some famous Christian musician who thinks he's really important and says, I leave the faith. And we're all like, okay, who cares? We didn't know you anyway. But then we're kind of confused. Like, why would you leave the faith? And you leave because you decide, I would rather trust what I see, my reason. It's the same reason at the very beginning, Cain offered up, I don't know if you know the story, but God said, give me a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Abel does it. Cain says, hey, I thought it would be reasonable to offer you some fruits and vegetables. I'm just using my brain here. And God's like, no, Cain, you did the wrong thing. Trust me. Do this sacrifice thing. And Cain says, no, thanks. I'm going to do my own thing, and I'll kill my brother. Okay. He left the faith. He's not going to trust God. So that happens, and we guard against that. We see it happen to people. We hope it doesn't happen to us, and I'll tell you, it won't. Because your faith is being built, your eyes are beginning more and more focused the longer that we come to Christ, the longer that we hear, the more we grow into it. So the first thing is the hidden God. So that's the negative. The law is, man, don't leave. Trust God even when it doesn't make sense. Because the faith will give you sight, and the first thing he gives you sight is the hidden God becomes revealed. And so in verse 1 through 3, he says, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But then verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That's where we began with faith. You know, God creates everything out of nothing. That's what we try to figure out. That's what scientists are trying to figure out. Everyone's trying to figure out how the universe was created, because the only way we create things are out of visible things. We take molecules or we take germs, we can create something. We can create a table out of wood. Like, we take things that are already created, and that's how we do it here. But the faith that God's given us realizes God creates out of nothing, that his very voice is a creative force that creates. So he says, let there be light, and there is light. So all visible things were created from invisible things, from his voice. That's what we believe. And if you try to figure it out apart from God, you get stuck. Well, we all blew up from molecules. It was the Big Bang, and it happened in space. Where did the thing come from in space? Where'd that molecule come from? Where did that come from? You ever played that game? If you ever played that game where you talk to somebody who believes in evolution, and you're like, where's that come from? Where'd that come from? And at some point, it came from somebody's mouth. They said it, and I believed it. Oh, cool faith. I believe in someone saying something too. And it's that God created with his word. That's where we begin. And then he becomes visible to us because we grow into that faith. And guess what? The hidden God, we start to see everywhere, right? Have you ever had one of those days where you feel like you just see God in nature? Have you? Where you're just like, oh, the birds are so beautiful. Oh, the sunset. Oh, how could you think God didn't make this? Have you ever had that moment? Just give me a little feedback. Yeah. Because now the hidden God has been made known to you by faith, and you start to see his thumbprint on creation. You see his thumbprint on things around, and you're like, there has to be a God. This is what the faith creates in you, and it creates the assurance that if God created all these things and he created the birds, and he says, I take care of the birds, how much more value are you? Oh, my faith is giving me sight. Not clearly, totally, but I have the sight that God is being revealed to me and he has me. I'm his creation. He's the creator. We settle into that. But then there's more. But wait, the sight also opens up for how we see people. When you look at the church, when you look at God's followers, you can see hypocrites, you can see failures, you can see a lot of people maybe that aren't great. But by faith, we look at the people of God, and what do we see? We see a hall of faith. We see otherwise forgotten characters through history. Abel, Enoch, Noah, he's kind of remembered. Abraham, Sarah. You know, these were just normal people. And when you look at their lives, it wasn't like they were any different than any of us. They had a big moment. They had some moments that still speak to us. But you start to see the people of faith differently. The faith that you have now allows you to look at people, see that they've died with Christ, been raised to life, and are new. And now they live by faith and not by sight. This is such a pivotal verse for me. I want to read it in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15 is where God calls Abraham righteous. And he says, the Lord came to Abraham, or Abram at this point. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring,
and a member of my own household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. So let me set the scene before I tell you the powerful verse. Abraham says, I can't have a baby. I'm old. My wife's barren. I know you keep promising this, Lord, but let me be reasonable and figure it out for you. Maybe we'll give it to one of my nephews or something. Maybe that's what you meant. God says, no. Come here. Look at the stars. I've revealed myself to you now in creation. You know that I've created all this, and I will give you as many children and heirs as are stars in the sky. And Abraham, can you imagine? You know how your heart longs for things and someone says, it's going to be all right. And you're like, thanks, I know you mean well, but I don't see how it's going to be all right. Abraham was there, but look at verse 6. And he believed the Lord. And he, the Lord, counted it to him as righteousness. This is huge. Remember this. Under the world, under the law demands perfection. Okay, so when you're trying to be righteous, yeah, you better be perfect. You can't be a hypocrite. You can't do anything wrong. You go 1 mile over the speed limit, boom, ticket. Gospel is different. Gospel, there's room for error. Yeah, we have a police officer back there. He's laughing. He'd only give you a ticket if he's in a bad mood. But still, he has the right to. The law demands perfection. The gospel, though, is the word of God to you, his son, Jesus Christ, who has died for you and given you this faith. And God, in the Old Testament, to the first guy, he says, you want to be righteous? It's not going to be in your behavior. It's going to be in you believed the Lord. I look around. I don't know how I'm going to have a baby. I don't know how we're going to pay these bills. I don't know how we're ever going to be healthy. I don't know how I'm going to do this job. I'm so unrighteous. I don't deserve anything because I've squandered it or I've done everything right and I'm mad at God. But the gospel is you believed, the faith is you believed the Lord's promise. He's a promise-making, promise-keeping God. You believed him. And God says, that's the righteousness you all have. And then he gives us examples over and over again. Look at Abel. Look at Enoch. Look at Noah. They didn't know anything. They weren't great people in and of their own strength. They just said, Lord, you're saying something crazy, but I believe it. And because I believe it, I'm just kind of stepping this way. This is how we move when the Lord says, I promise you, I'll do it. We're kind of like, okay, all right, go, go. Because this faith, this I believe you, Lord, means you're going to lean on him. You're going to keep preparing for the child that you don't know how you're ever going to have. You're going to keep preparing for the healing that would have to be a miracle. I don't know. I just believe you, Lord. And this belief then, the hidden people arise and you start to see. In our world, the great people are the rich, the famous, the ones who accomplish a lot, or they help a lot of people. And that's how you get significance and meaning. That's this world. But in our new world of faith, it's the people who kept the faith, who said, I believe the Lord. He says I'm special to him. I believe it. That's righteous. You are righteous. And you start to see that. And the author wants these people to be our examples. These are the people that we look up to. They just believe the Lord when the Lord promised impossible things. There's a verse there about Enoch where it says, guess what pleases the Lord? So not only are we counted righteous, but it says without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. That God is pleased with you, not by all that you've done and all the people you've saved and all that you've inspired and you've done so well. He's like, I am pleased by the fact that you just believe my word. And you have no idea how it's going to work out. So the people of faith often look like failures. This is the bummer. Because the author says, they didn't all see the promises come to fruition. They saw them far off. And that hurts us sometimes. Because
we still have this belief that if I do it all right, I'll get the promises of God right now. I'll at least be able to see it. See it, like down here. But the people of faith believe it. Abel would never have thought my life's going to mean something because I was murdered by my brother. He never would have thought. You cannot imagine what your faith is doing. And that's okay. You don't have to. You just believe the Lord, and that's counted as righteousness. So in their failure, though, they're looking forward to a hidden future. So you got a hidden God. Your faith opens up your eyes there. Your faith opens up your eyes to the hidden people. But there's something that nobody can give you, and that is, do you know the future? Do you know what's going to happen? Wouldn't you love to know? What would happen if you knew you could tell the future? You'd make some adjustments, right? You'd say, let me try this life. Oh, whoa, that didn't end well. Let me try it again over here. Let me try it over again. No one knows the future. And every generation since Adam and Eve has had a crisis of leadership. We are not unique today. Everybody's been trying to figure out, how do we rule and govern? And how do we do this in a world of death? So as soon as you get something good, there's someone else that has a different idea that wants to overwhelm. It's always been like that. And everybody's anxious. Everybody wants to know, are my kids going to be all right? Is our economy going to be all right? Is our world going to be all right? There's more violence than ever. And the reality is, no, there's not. It's death is death. We just have more information to our heads about it. 50 years ago, you just wouldn't know something happened. But this is the world. It's full of death. It's governed by death. And if your eyes are down here, it's all you're going to see. You're going to figure out, how do we get power over it and get a little comfort until we inevitably die? Or the good days run out. But we, the people of faith, see the hidden future. It's revealed to us by faith that God has designed a city. He's designed a city where the leader is Jesus Christ enthroned. And Jesus Christ, you know, he never made a stupid tweet. He never supported segregation. Jesus never did anything wrong. Can you imagine a leader where we couldn't find junk on him or her? Can you imagine? You don't have to. By faith, we have him already. And it's the most diverse kingdom on the planet. There's men, women, children of all nations, all tribes, everybody under the perfect heaven and earth Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's promised that we have a better city. We have a better country. We know the future. You start to see that and you start to believe it. There's got to be something better than what we can muster down here. And so my faith starts growing that we are moving towards the new creation, where heaven and earth are together under the reign and rule of Christ. And I want your eyes to be open to that. Otherwise, you will be full of anxiety. And I have to fight with that. As I look at the world, and the older you get, the more stuff, the more people you've created and stuff you have, and the more anxious you get because everybody's ruining it. I'm looking to a better city. Okay. Thank you, Lord. These are the glasses that we're putting on. And again, this is not faith in faith. It's not faith saying, do I have enough faith? This is the faith of a mustard seed. This is the faith that says, I just believe you, Lord. I don't know how, and I'm still scared. And he says, you're righteous. I'm your God. These are your people. This is your city, and when I make a promise, I'll keep it. So your new sight, I just want you to know, your new sight takes time. Faith builds. That's why we gather. The Holy Spirit continues to give us more and more sight. But Paul says, we see now veiled. We don't see it all super clearly. But that's why we gather in the presence of God, and he builds our faith. He strengthens it. And again, having a lot of faith or having a little faith doesn't matter. It's basically the picture I always give. It's a frozen lake. Someone grows up on the frozen lake. They run out, and they're like, come on! That's a type of faith. The other person grows up in Florida, says, that's a frozen lake. I don't think so, man. But then they just kind of go like this, and they stand on it. That's faith. No one's faith is better or worse. But the more the person from Florida stands on it, the more they'll start to kind of go, all right, all right.
Pretty good. And that's what we get to explore with our faith, because the lights are on and we're not anxious and we know that there's a Heavenly Father and He says, build your life on this. Seek those things which are above. I care for the birds. How much more am I going to care for you? But here's the best thing. Takes away, we root in this hope. Takes away anxiety. God is pleased with you. He keeps His promises. He gives us sight to see Him. He gives us sight to see each other. And together we see a better future. But imagine this. Can you imagine yourself in the Hall of Faith in the Bible? Put your name in there. That's the point of it. You're in the Hall of Faith. You're in my Hall of Faith. And think about this. I have kids. Haley's going back to college tomorrow, and Grace is starting high school. Lowry's in high school. And some of you have known Grace since she's been like four, or since she's been born. You, Fannas, Fitzpatricks, Niederhases, Wimberleys, Gallises, Nancyellas, you just got here. You, Porters, we can go through. You're in my kids' Hall of Faith. Do you know that? When they think about the faith, they have your name in there. Oh, these are people who just believed God. So even with all your struggles and all your brokenheartedness and all your, they have Cree, Ba, Papa. This is their Hall of Faith. I have my own Hall of Faith. Many of you are in it. It's like, I know what you've been through. I'm like, wow, you're hanging in there. Praise God. Keep believing. I have guys I grew up with. Adam and Brad and Hutch, and I go through. John Bombaro was one of those guys, and I have the Hall of Faith. You're in Hall of Faith. It's hard to believe, isn't it? But by faith, believe it. Because you're the people who say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I trust you. And He says, well done, good and faithful servant. I will keep my promises. Whether you see it or you don't see it in this life, we will all make it to that great city that He's been preparing for us. Can you see it? I can. I'm thankful every time you write prayer requests. That's an act of faith. Every time you trust the Lord, that's an act of faith. And it's building more confidence and more sight of what's real. You see what's real. And God sees you. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. Continue to create in us faith. I thank you for the people that have gathered and how you use them to encourage my faith. Thank you that together we do believe that Jesus, you came the first time and you're coming back. And in the meantime, we cling to your word. We don't know how you'll do it, but we ask for your peace and your blessing and your Holy Spirit to work in us. And we thank you. Thank you for the people in this room. I love them. And I pray that they can begin to see all these truths, and especially their name in the Hall of Faith, that they are pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's confess together, since you're all inducted into the Hall of Fame, Hall of Faith fame. Let's stand together and say, encourage our faith by hearing that you're not alone in believing in the creation of the world by God and the redemption of the world by His Son and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit by reading together the Apostles' Creed. It's on page B. What do you believe, Christian? I believe in God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. And He ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from there, He will come again, living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So we'll take a time to, you may be seated, to give back to God, recognizing that everything that's visible is from his invisible word and his love to you. And this is an opportunity to worship God by giving tithes or offerings to the work of the word of God on earth as it is in heaven. And so take this time. Lord, bless our response. You've given us this faith, and by faith we respond by giving our voices, giving our talents, our time, our treasure. And so we give to you out of thanksgiving. We pray that you would be blessed and honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. And so the faith that we have really finds expression in the Lord's Supper. So beyond seeing the Lord's Supper as just something that is where we remember, I know that we've engaged it as a place where we hear the true word of God, you're forgiven. But think about the faith. And I want you to realize that the faith that God's given you to his word in everyday things like bread and wine, they stay bread and wine. They're as good creation. Yet his word makes them something else. And I want you to focus when you come for the Lord's Supper today. I want you to really, I don't like the word imagine, but anchor in the reality that Christ is present here. That this is a meal he's invited you to, and he's with us. We don't see him physically, but our faith opens up the idea and the reality that he is with us. And where he is, his angels are marking out and defending. And where he is, there's life, and his word is true. So as you approach the Lord's Supper today, think about and know that Jesus Christ is here, and it's pleasing. Your worship is pleasing to him, and he loves how this faith has brought you to him, and this faith has brought love amongst one another, and it's keeping us going even though we feel powerless and frustrated and sick and tired. We keep moving towards what Christ is building, and he's here. So the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. Because see, he knew he was doing something better than just trying to get power. He was dying for his people, and he said, I am the lamb who will be slain to ransom people, and this is my body, which is broken for you. In the same way, he took the cup, and he poured it out, and he said, this is my blood. I'm dying for you. Death has to happen for the newness of life to happen, and I will die for you. This is my blood. Your sins are forgiven. And then he invites us to take and eat of it, his body and his blood. Know that he is present here. Know that he is present in you, and let him focus up those eyes. Even if it's just for an hour today, see it. That's all you can get. 5 minutes, see it. But hopefully as we grow, it becomes 5 minutes, it becomes an hour, it becomes 2 days, it becomes 3 days, where you're seeing the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Father, we bless these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's only by your word and the faith that you've worked that we approach it for the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of our bodies. Bless it, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
So Jesus says that as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death and his coming again. It's what we have, the promise, like a thread. But it's good because Jesus rose from the dead. God, thanks. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Extra credit. And of course, we have Fed by Ravens, which is still always available on a podcast. If you notice, Jesus said, look at the ravens today. How they're fed, look to the ravens, people. All right, receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.